Hey, let's go to the VIP line. Always a pleasure to talk to Ken Buck, doing a great job up on the Hill. And then also, of course, as you know, now running the Colorado GOP, a great and worthy challenge. Ken, welcome back to the Dan Kaplis Show.
Thanks, Dan. How are you?
Well, I am doing great, my friend. But as always, I'm very jealous of you because you're right in the middle of all this Mueller stuff. And it's one of the things we're going to kick around today. But before we get to some of the other issues, including your Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants bill, is there a buzz on the Hill right now over the Mueller hearing? I know it's still a week from Wednesday and all of that, but this, I think, is going to be a unique day up there.
Yeah, we still don't know what the ground rules are going to be, how much time each member has to ask questions, and how much each side has to ask questions. But there are certainly negotiations going on right now on that subject, and I think there is a buzz. There's a lot of people that are prepping questions and talking to each other about what subjects different members are going to cover. So I think there is some planning at this point, and members are looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't know if Mueller's looking forward to it. I mean, I'll be upfront. I don't think you and I have ever talked Mueller. I don't trust him. Hurts me to say that about a law enforcement guy. My dad, a cop for 30 years. I'm very pro-law enforcement, but I also have two eyes and attend the University of Real Life. So I think I see Robert Mueller for, unfortunately, who he was during the course of this. And so I just don't trust his motives. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what he tries to do at the hearing. But it's not just going to be a love fest.
I don't think it will either. But I have to tell you, Dan, here's a guy who graduates from college, goes, joins the Marines to go to Vietnam. He leaves the Marines at some point and then becomes a federal prosecutor and goes to D.C. with a very high murder rate and becomes the chief of the homicide section in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, and then becomes eventually the U.S. Attorney in San Francisco and the director of the FBI. I think when you look at his career, it is a career that speaks to honor, and I hope that when he testifies, he will do so in a way that is consistent with his career.
Yeah, and I hope you're right there, Ken. But what I saw in the course of this investigation, and I think it's something we've both seen in the course of life, is every now and then there's a situation where somebody who's otherwise been honorable, just all of a sudden gets caught up in themselves, their ego, their own, personal interest, et cetera. And so what I saw was a Robert Mueller who, no matter what he had done in the past, all of the sudden now became political in this investigation. I mean, I've got to believe that if Ken Buck had been tapped to head this investigation, you would have bent over backwards to search this country for a team of prosecutors who had not been politically active, had not been giving contributions, at least any significant ones, to, candidates, did not have this aura of partisanship. To me, there was always this questionable appearance of his team. Really, couldn't he have found a bunch of great prosecutors somewhere who didn't have this political baggage? So that made me suspicious of him to start. And then I saw other things along the way that just intensified that.
And I don't disagree. Some of the FBI agents were caught with texts that were very uncomplimentary of the president, critical of the president. So there certainly appeared to be a bias in a number of different ways for this investigation. When I read the report, and I have read the report several times, yeah, especially on the Russian collusion side of the report, I see a very factual explanation of the investigation. I don't know why the obstruction was added to it, and I'm concerned about that. But I think for the most part, the investigation report was a fair summary of the Russian collusion issue.
Yeah, I think you're right on Russian collusion, though I think he includes in that a lot of incidental type of stuff that, wait a second, why is that there? But the obstruction to me is what really reveals, I think, his bad intentions here. Because Ken, you as a top prosecutor for so many years, any of us, it just turns American justice, the heart, the fairness of American justice on its head. And now the standard is that Donald Trump has to prove that he did not obstruct justice. And since there wasn't clear and convincing evidence that he didn't obstruct justice, they can't clear him. I mean, that just turned our entire system on its head. And to me, that really revealed his heart. And in my view, it wasn't a pretty picture. His meaning Mueller's.
I agree completely with you. I gave another interview today, Dan, and I said exactly that. This country is not based on the concept that you are guilty until proven innocent. And so I think it's a disgrace in a lot of different ways that he raises that issue without coming to a conclusion one way or the other and just leaves it out there for partisan bickering.
Hey, Ken, I want to ask you about the Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants Act that you're sponsoring. What's the story on that?
So it's really an interesting bill. We had over 300 co-sponsors, over 200 Democrats, over 100 Republicans co-sponsored this bill. And what it does is when a high-skilled immigrant worker comes into this country, we have a 7% cap based on the country of origin. So if you come into this country from Pakistan, for example, you can get a green card in 7 or 8 months. You come into this country from India, you have to wait 70 years to get a green card. And so what this bill does is it just says first come, first serve. Doesn't matter what country you come from, no matter where you're from, you will get a green card based on a first come, first serve basis. Passed the House overwhelmingly. It will be sent to the Senate, and I hope this year it passes the Senate. We have waited more than 10 years for this bill to pass the Senate. It's passed the House. Each of the Congresses, both Democrat and Republican Congresses, and hopefully we get a vote in the Senate this year on this bill.
Well, what does the opposition say? It's hard to imagine a good counter argument.
Well, there are some, and again, it was a overwhelming majority that voted for the bill, but there are some people that are concerned about the number of high-skilled, high-tech workers that come into this country. Now, this bill doesn't affect the number. It just affects the order with which they will get a green card. But I think there was some misunderstanding about the bill, and as a result, there were some votes against it.
Yeah, because, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems to me pretty obvious that, you know, first and foremost, want to make sure that equally qualified Americans aren't being put out of work by folks coming here from other countries. But assuming the need is there for these highly skilled folks from other countries, how could anybody argue that it should be based on what country they're from?
Exactly. And Dan, I can tell you right now, many of your listeners are in the high tech industry in Colorado, and they feel very strongly about the need for more labor. We are creating American jobs by bringing in high tech workers. American jobs in a lot of different areas. And so ultimately it is great for our economy that we are as innovative as we are and as productive as we are in the high tech area.
Well, sounds like this will be another check in the W column for you, my friend. What's the timing on this? When do you expect it to pass the Senate?
I hope sometime this year. I'd love to see it pass this year. And I'm fairly confident that the president will sign it, and that will be very helpful also.
Hey, let me shift gears for a second. Ken Buck, obviously our special guest, and talk about another hat you wear, which is running the GOP in Colorado. I think that it's way beyond overreach to me. It's a direct assault by the Democrats in the legislature. I think in one very specific way, and I'm hoping you're going to tell us this is true and not just wishful thinking, has been great for conservatism, particularly the so-called national popular vote bill, because what I'm seeing out there is, you know, an awful lot of successful grassroots action, you know, to gather the signatures, get this thing on the ballot. Sounds like the organization is in place to then mount a good campaign to repeal this. But what is the current state of the GOP in Colorado?
I think that the Democrats have overreached on a number of areas, and the national popular vote that you mentioned, that legislation, really surprised me. I thought that would be more of a sleeper than the red flag bill, for example, or the sex ed bill in third grade. But the that national popular vote has really garnered a lot of energy, and I think between the repeal of Tabor this fall and the national popular vote next fall, I think there are a lot of people that are up in arms. And this is bipartisan. The national popular vote has volunteers from both parties and unaffiliateds working to undo what the legislature has done. And I think it will be something that will unify Americans and goes to the overreach of this last legislative session with the Democrats and Governor Polis.
Yeah, no, I'm optimistic, but I always am. So, Ken, what else do folks need to know about?
Well, I got to tell you, Dan, thank you for having me on. And I am in D.C. Right now. I'm in the old Supreme Court chamber in the Capitol building. The Supreme Court used to be in the located in the Capitol. And I'm glad we're back in July, and I'm glad I'm back in the district in August. And so I'm looking forward to seeing people in August.
Yeah, and I'd love to connect with you after the Mueller hearing. I mean, I just think that's going to
be great.
Historic in a lot of ways, some good, some bad. But appreciate the time, Ken. Keep up the good work, and catch you soon.
Thank you very much, Dan. You take care.